on Mechias HaMolek B'zeh HaChodesh. The elimination or the erasure of HaMolek was established in this month of Adar. Devori Mazalayhu Shal B'nei Yisrael, because the mazel of the Jewish people is good, it's healthy in the month of Adar. So specifically, Parsha Zohar was Kavua in Adar. Ki De'isa, as it's brought in the Gemara and it says brought in Shulchan Aruch, Lishtamet Minei Ad Adar. It says if you have to face a judgment with a Gentile, you should try and get away from him until the month of Adar and file your claim and have your judgment done in Adar. It's a good mazel for the Jews. Difasiv, because it's written by Rafidim, Amalek attacked Bnei Yisrael in a place called Rafidim. And the Chachamim learned from there, and Rashi brings this, Sharafu Yidehem. Our hands were lax. It means to say that we relaxed in our Avodas Hashem. We let off somewhat. And at that point is when Amalek attacked us. Lachain Hagyalo Koach Lehilachem Imahem. That's why they had the strength to do battle with us, the Kishazek comes and no fell, because when this one rises, this one falls, and vice versa, because Amalek comes from Esav, and that's what it says, when Yaakov rises, Esav falls, and vice versa. So what is special about this month of Adar? He looks at it, in a certain respect, I think, in this mimer, as leading into Nisan. Uben Nisan, Maschil Hisromamus B'nei Yisroel. In the month of Nisan, the elevation of the Jewish people begins. The Hishtokukus v'Hasimcha. So you have this yearning and this joy, Sheyesh l'Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people have, L'Hiskarev Elov, to bring themselves close to God, Yisbarah. B'Zos HaSimcha Shal Mitzvah, with this joy of Mitzvah, Yecholim Linchos Shem HaMolek. They are able to wipe out the name of HaMolek. So he's examining Adar as a preparation for the month of Nisan. We know that in Nisan we became the Jewish nation and we were redeemed from Mitzrayim. So the joy of anticipation of this event, we start to experience in Adar. Adar is the anticipation of the Geula of Nisan. And as a result of that, that Simcha is what allows us to look to destroy Amalek, the Simcha Shal Mitzvah. Ki b'galus ein yecholim lihilachem imo b'choles. It says, because in galus, in exile, we are not able to battle Amalek at any time. We can't just decide, okay, now we're strong enough to do it. We're not able at any time. Kamo shekasuv, as it's written, shelo ye'asof alecha aguda, not to gather upon you in a group. I'm not sure where that's written. Lekach, therefore, Rak b'haniach Hashem elokecha lecha. It says, when Hashem will let you rest from all your other activities, then you can fight Amalek. So not all times are appropriate to try and do this battle. V'lachein bocharu lizkor oso b'yom HaShabbos. So therefore, in addition to it being in the month of Adar, which is a good time to fight Amalek, it also was fixed on the day of Shabbos. Now this is important because we know that Parsha Zohar is D'oraisa. Hearing the Kriya of Parsha Zohar is Min HaTorah, the Torah obligation. But you don't find that the Torah says you have to listen to this Kriya on such and such a day. It just Torah just says you have to remember what Amalek did to you and destroy them. So that what the thing is the Chachamim fixed a certain time for Bnei Yisrael to be Yotzei in this mitzvah. That's unusual in that respect. Like, you take a lulav on Sukkot, you take a shofar Rosh Hashanah. It never tells you in the Torah when to do b'kayim the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek. So the Chacham said, this is when you do it. The way we are Yotzei this mitzvah is by laying this Kriya on the Shabbos, and that's how you Yotzei the mitzvah. They were Koveya this mind for this mitzvah.
Do they learn it out from a Gezeres Pasuk or something, or they, it's totally Torah Shabbat Peh?
It seems to be a Torah Shabbat Peh. So they establish it, one in the month of Adar, where the Simcha of Adar in anticipation of our being a nation is present, and secondly on Shabbos, so we have two things going for us to try and defeat Amalek, because we have to build up our arsenal when we fight him. We can't just fight him at any time, he said. V'emesh b'chol Shabbos yesh kitzas mechiyas Amalek, and the truth is, he says, on every Shabbos there is a little bit of the destruction of Amalek. Every single Shabbos has that. Shehu me'ein olam haba. So how does he prove this? Shabbos is me'ein olam haba, something of olam haba. B'sham lo yihye lo zecher. In olam haba there will be no remnant of Amalek whatsoever. It will be non-existent. And Shabbos being me'ein olam haba, therefore has to do with mechias Amalek. Kamosha kasev, as it's written, emche zecher Amalek mitachas hashamayim. The pasuk says, I will erase the remnant of Amalek from beneath the heaven. So the implication is that the only place we have a remnant is beneath the heaven. Once you're in heavens, in Olam Haba, there's not even a remnant of Amalek. That's his remnant to it.
Do we continue to learn Torah in Olam Haba?
Yes.
Well, how can you wipe that out of the Torah?
Probably takes on a different form. Whatever that means in this world, it means something else. It's like when the Malachim were trying to fight against Moshe Rabbeinu receiving the Torah. They complained to Hashem that the Torah should not come down here to the human beings. So Hashem told Moshe to respond to the Malachim. So Moshe said, says in the Torah not to eat meat and milk. Do you eat? So it's not relevant to you. The question is, what were the Malachim thinking in the first place? Apparently it is relevant to them. So somehow, the commandments of the Torah, depending on the olam, or the dimension, the reality in which you live, is somehow relevant. The physical act of eating that the Bnei Yisrael have to do, the Mekai Mitzvahs, that's not relevant to Malachim. But the principle of not eating those things somehow is relevant in their realm as well.
Hi, sorry. When's a good time? This is Aaron.
Hi, how's it going?
When's a good time to reach you?
I'll be home in a little bit.
Sorry, I can't say that.
Okay. Ken, I tried to call you back a couple of times.
Sorry.
Okay, I just want to let you know. Okay. The next mimer is a little...
We have these negative
variations.
Okay.
It's a variation on our theme that I don't have more than one copy of the Dibrei Chaim, but I want to read this little passage in Vayikra because it's very important as far as a nice understanding of Korbanos. So we did once last time this, and we'll do a Dibrei Chaim also. Dibrei Chaim was the Tanzer Rebbe. It was the 19th century. He and the Chasim Sofer were the greatest poskim of their generation. And the Tanzer Rebbe's Piskei Halacha to this day are very vibrant. A lot of the things are brought down in his name. So a very, very great Rebbe and a great posek as well. And he has a book of Shilas and Shuvas also called the Shuvas Dibrei Chaim. There's a book about it they put out in English also. That lots of times we want to see. Okay, so he says as follows. I'm sorry that I didn't get a chance to make copies either. Odom ki yakrim niken korban l'Hashem. The pasuk says in the beginning of Vayikra that when a person is makriv, when they offer mikem, from yourself, a korban l'Hashem. It's a strange language. Because the dikdukim, the nuances and the questions are many, because the word Adam seems to be unnecessary, etc. And also, why did it say Mikem specifically? This goes through his questions. Okay. Aflefi pshuto, according to the simple explanation, nearly it appears, Dehine yadua inyan korba. It is known that this is the nature of a korban. Now we always know that when it says it is known, that I mean we really don't know it. Right, so that's the rule. So he's going to tell us what we all know anyway. Does God need to eat a korban? We're bringing a korban to Hashem, he needs to eat this food? Yeah.
No, I'm just saying it depends on who he's ready to.
Right.
There were those who he was ready to.
Actually, didn't know. As it says, the pasuk Hashem, am I hungry for your korbanos? Of course, it's not the case. But this is the gezeira of Hashem's wisdom. that through this process, niskarav nefesh ha'adam la'ashem, the soul of a human being draws close to God. The Pirush Zal, he says, the Chachamim have explained, mishum, shekedushas eish shel mizbeach, the holiness of the fire on the mizbeach, soreif hachumrius, it burns away materialism, physicality. The fire of the mizbeach is a special fire. It's not just an ordinary fire that consumes, but it burns away chumrius, physicality. Shebenefesh ha-bahamis, which is contained in our nefesh ha-bahamis, our basic animal soul. Va'yidei po'ol ha-ma'ase, na'ase b'koach, benefesh ha-bahamis sheba'odim. When this action is performed, when the nefesh ha-bahamis is burned on the mizbeach, through an animal, that has an effect on the nefesh ha-bahamis of the human being. So we take this animal life and offer it to Hashem, and the animal life has a lot of drives, a lot of physical drives that we're trying to control. And the fire of the mizbeach somehow purifies those drives, and the person who brought that korban is then affected by this. Shal yidei teshuvaso, through the teshuva of the one who brought the korban, the shivron levavon, his broken heart, lifnei Hashem, ve'es hakrovas hakorban, when he brings the korban, nishbar koach habaharmis, his own animal-like qualities, those drives that we're trying to control, becomes broken, v'nisraf, and consumed, v'nisala minenu koach hakedusha kiyadua, and extracted from it and raised from it is a force of kedusha, as is known again. So the idea is that we take this animal, we offer the nefesh ha-bahamis, and through our own remorse and feelings of teshuva, our own nefesh ha-bahamis becomes purified in that process. Shekoach nefesh ha-sichli sheba'odem, because the higher soul of a human being, our neshama, nisa el nefesh ha-bahamis, we know it is attached to our nefesh ha-bahamis, to our lower nefesh. The nefesh ha-bahamis nisa el haguf, and our nefesh ha-bahamis is attached to our body. Right? So the neshama is attached to our nefesh ha-bahamis, is attached to our guf. V'hu emtzoi bein haguf u'nefesh ha-sichli. The nefesh ha-bahamis is like an intermediary between our body and our neshama. Nefesh ha-bahamis is not part of our neshama, it's just a certain force, a life force that we have within us. And he calls it the bridge between our body and our neshama. The nefesh ha-sichli, nizam meruchnias ha-maichel, says when you eat something, there is a physical life in the food, and there's also a spiritual life in the food. And our neshama takes its sustenance from the spiritual energy which is in that food. That's what our neshama gets. Ayyidei nefesh ha-bahami, and it comes through the nefesh ha-bahami. So our body gets the physical energy of the food, our nefesh ha-bahami gets some of that as well, and the spiritual koach in that michael is then transferred into our actual neshama, through the nefesh ha-bahami, as explained in the Sifrei Musar and in the Zohar HaKadosh. V'chol ha-chatoin, all transgressions, boim ayyidei nefesh ha-bahamis ha-nisavu l'gashmi. We come to them through the inclinations of our nefesh ha-bahamis, which desires physical material things. It's those drives is what brings us to, unfortunately, sometimes fate. U'ma'orer es nefesh ha-sichli. And it actually has a certain awakening power on the neshama. V'lachein, kevan sha'adam osa teshuva. So the nefesh ha-bahamis, he says, it does something, it has a drive, it drags the neshama along with it too, because they're connected to each other. So therefore, when we do teshuva, the koach nefesh ha-sichli ma'orer l'tov, then our neshama, what he's calling the nefesh ha-sichli, that gives it an awakening for tov. U'mischoret al darko shehalach, and it regrets the previous path, with a desire to better itself from now on. So the process of teshuva awakens within us a spark of our, in our neshama, to get itself away from the pull of the Nefesh HaBehemis and to put itself back on the right path. Well, I don't know at what point, but probably at the point of harata, you know, when you have a feeling of regret or a knowledge of wrongdoing, that's the beginning of the process. But the process is to know what you did wrong, to have harata for it, which is regret, and to ask Hashem for a teshuva. I think once you acknowledge the wrongdoing, that's the beginning of the hisorus of your neshama getting back on track. Before there's an acknowledgement of wrongdoing, there's nothing yet to get on track with. That's probably the beginning.
It has to be spoken in mind.
Vidui has to be actually verbal. The initial recognition doesn't have to be. That could be intellectual. But vidui has to be verbal. So we say before Hashem, Chatasi Abisus
Hashem. I'm confused a little bit. The nefesh of the animal is contained in the blood of the animal.
Yeah.
So before we take the animal on the mizbeach, we shaft it and take its blood and we sprinkle it
right on
the side of the mizbeach.
Right.
But this blood doesn't itself get consumed by the fire.
I think that's the idea he's referring to, though. It's the sprinkling of the dam. Right. Zrikas hadam, which is a chelek of any korban. Any korban, one of its four components is zrikas hadam, otherwise it's not kosher. So when you sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach, that's the nefesh HaBehemis being affected by the ish of the mizbeach. Even though you're right, it's not going directly into the fires, it's going on the mizbeach. But I think that's what he's referring to.
It's not actually burning the mizbeach.
Right. So we don't want the nefesh HaBehemis, right? We don't eat that because Adam is my nefesh, so the soul is in the blood, and therefore that's somehow that's prescribed. And after the process of malicha, you know, when you kosher your meat through salting, you know, the salting process has a certain finish to it. When you finish and you rinse the meat still continues to ooze, what scientifically, what we would call blood, you know, but halakhically it's not blood anymore. It's called seer, which means gravy or juice. It's not dam anymore after that process.
Before the cooking?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? We're talking about before the cooking.
Yeah, once you salt meat.
Right, once you salt meat.
The blood which is coming out, when it's salted, that's done. That you can
right,
eat.
But what's left over after the process?
No, I mean after the process of salting.
Salting.
Right. Salting is over.
You
rinse it.
In the package, that's not
right,
blood.
That's not, even though it is blood. You know,
no, I realize that. But what we're talking about, it's halakhically
not
considered
blood.
Blood.
That's right. Almost our red zone in certain respects, and
that's
part of it, yeah.
That's one of our faith, and then we see this faith, this aim of shakta and sacrifice, and as we see that, there's some directions on our nefesh of HaBehemis, our shaman and all that, and it's through the intermediary of this, of passing it along. I mean, this is almost the same thing as with the goat, you know, in a sense. It seems...
The sins go on it.
Yeah, but what he's saying is that there's like a real intellectual process going on in our neshama by doing this physical passing along.
Right.
And it, that reeks of, you know, like which doctor came in. Is there some corresponding
kind of thing? Well, I certainly wouldn't say that it's in the realm.
You are being recorded, remember this.
Lisa, listen up.
Okay. I always remember that the processes of Tumah, they nurse from the processes of Tahara. Whatever is Ra, you know, has to derive somehow its origins from the processes of Kedusha. So this is the process of lifting the Nefesh HaBehemis in a context which is Kodesh. And the fact that others practice things, you know, that are similar to it is that that's where the powers of Tuma derive their original origin. Some basis in Kedusha, otherwise they have no force whatsoever. Well, look, you have people had animal sacrifices too. They had human sacrifices as well. The concept of, you know, extending human life to some kind of.
But now we're kind of removed. We say that the bearer of the korban is
in place of the korban, right?
So, but we don't have the same. We don't go through the reading of Micha as we have in the Gemara. We take the sacrifice itself.
Right.
So it seems a little different now.
Wouldn't the food that we eat around our own table also be?
That's all, because our table is considered like a mizbeah.
Right.
So there's an aliyah to the chelek of the behema or the plant or whatever we're eating. There's an aliyah in that way through consumption at our table.
Yeah, I know the priest Sadi comes to talk about it. He always talks about this food link with the kind of.
Okay. So he says that the neshama itself, it can get back on track through the process of tshuva. It can put itself back in track. Af koach hagashmi, but what about the physical force and energy which has gone astray? Nefesh ha-bahamis nischazek al yidei ha-chet, Rachman Litzlan, that has become strengthened through chet, but chet has power to it. And even if we're able to extract our neshama because of its own strength, but our nefesh ha-bahamis and our physical drives have been strengthened by the chet. So how do we release ourselves from that newly acquired energy toward avera? Behu kemesa hamavdil. And this is like an iron curtain, bein or haseichel, between the light of the intellect and intelligence and the rest of the body. Belachain. Therefore, that is achieved by the korban. Ba'akrobas ha-korban, lisrof ha-bahamish shabo, the korban, nisrof b'koach kedushas ha-mizbeach. It is through the offering of the korban and on the mizbeach that additional strength that the nefesh ha-bahamish got through the sin is burned away. That's how it's dissipated. And in that respect, it is achieved through the kedusha of the mizbeach. And gam chelak habahamis shabodan, as well, that chelak habahamis within the human being becomes burned away as well. So through the process of the korban, we dismiss and we actually dismantle the extra koach that our nefesh habahamis had from pain. The nishar nefesh hasichli b'tokfo, lehistorer al nefesh habahamis ulaholichol teretzona. And then our neshama is remained intact in its strength, and it is able to impose its authority over the nefesh ha-bahamis. Before the process of tshuva, he's saying, the neshama has a harder time imposing itself on the nefesh ha-bahamis, because it has been strengthened by chet. So the process of tshuva and then the korban realigns the neshama to allow its authority to be asserted over the nefesh ha-bahamis. So when he said, as is known, I think this is clear that we all knew this before. V'hine yadua shekol hadavorim nisalu bi'ilui me'ilui le'ilui. This is a little bit what we were saying before, Bruce. Because it is known that all things are lifted through a process. Koach hatzomeach, when a plant is eaten, for example, na'asa nefesh chaya bi'behema. When it's eaten by an animal, it's incorporated into the next higher life force, which is called behema. And then the animal which has eaten this food in its own inner processes, it makes blood, and that blood contains the nefesh abahamis of the animal. Then if a human being eats that animal, that animal's power is now incorporated into the manufacture of blood within the human being, and it's elevated into the next level, the nefesh ha-bahamis shabo, the human nefesh ha-bahamis. So the plant to the animal to the human, it all became together in the human being. Ulam harei ra'inu b'mufash, but we see, however, visibly, shagam nefesh ha-sichlis yesh lo hitolos b'hamaychel. So we are compelled to say that not only our nefesh ha-bahamis, but even our neshama, our higher soul, also is affected by food. Why? Sheharei yimeno ochel yechalash gam ochel, because if we don't eat, our brain becomes weak also. Some of us, that's the case anyway. But our brain becomes even more weak and more unable to function if we don't eat properly. Uba'achlo lispoa nafsho gam nefesh ha-sichli yishazek. And then when we eat, the capacities of our intelligence and our abilities to use it are also restored. Mishum dechelek haruchani v'hazach shebenefesh abahami nisada mimenu koach helek nefesh ha-sichli. So this is because when we eat, as he said before, through the nefesh abahamis, the spiritual koach of that food is funneled into the nefesh haruchnius, into our neshama. We're compelled to say that, otherwise there would be no connection between what we do with our body and our neshama, and we see that there is, through the power of our intelligence. Now, sorry?
Plants.
Yeah.
And animals. When they eat, there can only be a rising up, I guess, because they don't have the free will in order to do a fake, in a sense.
It just occurs
it just
by nature.
It's an automatic thing.
Right.
But for us, we have a choice. I mean, we can also... Right. I mean, well, he's only talked about elevating it. We can also,
we can also
be neutral
or take it into the realm of Ra by eating it properly.
Unlike,
or something
unlike
like that.
The other life.
That's right. That's correct.
So there's a definite.
The Sefer HaTanya, he says that this is the distinction between humans and animals, that one of the distinctions, that human beings have the ability to make things work, and along with our ability to make things better. Has the ability to make things worse. An animal has no ability to make things worse at all. Right. But we have to watch ourselves.
I mean, even a bad animal, in the sense of what we consider, you know,
it's not
destructive
true,
animal,
yeah.
It's different.
Right. Yeah. Then he goes back to the pasuk, Adam ki yakriv mikem. A human being, when he offers from you, It sounds like, you know, the offering is the human being. That's the gist of it. And that's, of course, what they're supposed to think. Hainu she'ish ha-yisraeli v'hakriva korban. When a Jewish person offers a korban, yichavein chelek adam imenu la-Hashem. He has in mind that the part of this korban, which is going to be elevated into the human realm, will be directed to God. Lo she'yihya kiksilim. Not like the fools, shemavin korban, who bring a korban, ve'enam yodim imatov o ara mavin, and they don't know the purposes of the korban, if it's for good, if it's for bad, it's just a bunch of nonsense, like it says in the Shas. Rak sheha korban yihya aldera shekasavnu, but the intention of the korban is, as we said, lisrof zuhamas nefesh abahamis shabo, to burn away the newly acquired force of the nefesh abahamis, the chelek ha'adam shebesocho, and the human component yakriv la'Hashem, to make sure to direct to God. And that's why the pasuk says adam mikem. Adam mikem, the human element from amongst you, shall be offered up to God. The human part shall be offered to God. Chelek adam shebesocho chem yakriv la'Hashem. That whatever is incorporated into the realm of the human, through this process, we direct upward to the relationship.
Well, if a korban is likened to the food that we eat at our table, and the table is like from the playoff, then the person that checks meat, their intent on what they're doing, would that affect this whole process of what we're doing?
Sure.
So we're in essence sent out of our control.
So that's why we have our stuff there.
No, and I wasn't talking about that it was done halachically. I was talking about that it was done through intention.
Well, there's no question as well that the intent of the shofet makes a difference, but on that we have no control.
Right,
the idea, though, is that a shofet should be a God-fearing person, and hopefully
that that will carry through on the actual retreat.
There are cities where the scrutiny of the cell phone is more intense than the scrutiny of the robot and
Well, it's a charge of the meat directly.
That's much different. This clothing got a job to show that it did not seem to show that certain schools did not do this yet. There are some very strict guidelines that are set down. We want to work with you, we want to work with this position. These are the new ones. And if, we can change it.
Very safe. it's much different than kind of on the animal kingdom than it is on even plants. I mean, the person picking the plants doesn't even have to wait.
There's no process.
It's not like, I picked the broccoli, right. What was my intent, right?
But it would follow that a person who's a vegetarian has less potential to either raise things like the lower things
Well, it depends on what they eat, because you could have vegetables that are also need to do their eyes, right? If you eat oil, that's a very, very, very serious scenario. But in terms of their ability to, but it's a vegetarian food. Yeah. But it is true that if a person does not eat meat, that they lose out on the ability to be mala, and that's what that phyla is to do.
And they probably also lose out on the fourth of the meat that has a tendency to be exploding.
Now, on Shabbos especially, because during the week, as the seventh form to say that during the week only Talmidei Chachamim, in the real sense, are able to take meat and lift it up during the week. It takes a place. Although that's not commonly practiced nowadays. But on Shabbos, everybody is able to do that.
So is everybody but Talmidei Chachamim during the week?
What about
right. they can't afford it.
What about Shmaus on Purim? Where does that fall into?
Talking about Krepla?
Schmaltz or Pesach.
Yeah, really, it's like the most intense, concentrated.
Is that like concentrated?
You're really getting through all the way. You'll be breaking through. Like the chonking? So, a person, that's why I think that a person who does choose to be a vegetarian should give a very serious thought in respect to Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Because in that realm of Kedusha, any Jew has the ability to lift up the baser that they eat.
True, the real baser would even be more of an issue than just chicken. Chickens are the same class as real baser.
Right, it is chicken baser.
That's on a mizbeach, it's only behemoth and hide.
I never hear of common chickens.
Nah, I don't think so.
You notice there's no vegetarians allowed at this class, isn't that what it was?